It's time for Windows Weekly. I'm back. Yay, I missed you guys. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley are here, too. They're back in their respective domiciles, along with Sriracha the Cat. And we are going to give you the latest news from Redmond. Finally, the Fall Creators Update is imminent. We'll tell you exactly what's going on with that. We'll take a look at Cuphead. Yes, it's finally here. We've got a review, sort of a mini review from Paul. And a whole lot more. It's all coming up next. Windows Weekly. Stay tuned.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 538, recorded Wednesday, October 4th, 2017, digitally entitled. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Betterment, the largest independent online financial advisor. For one low, transparent fee, Betterment gives you personalized advice and invests your money. For a limited time, you can get up to 1 year managed free. Learn more at betterment.com/windows. And by the Ring video doorbell. With Ring, you can see and talk to anyone at your door from anywhere in the world using your smartphone. It's like caller ID for your home. Go to ring.com/WW and get up to $150 off a Ring of security kit. And by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully so you can be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/windows. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we talk about the latest news from Microsoft with these two fine individuals, the stars of our show. Mary Jo, Mary Jo Foley from allaboutmicrosoft.com at ZDNet, and of course Paul Thurrott from Thurrott.com, two of the best tech journalists in the world and Windows watchers par excellence. Paul, I know because I saw you tweeting was watching today's Google announcement.
Oh, was there an announcement today?
And I hear you bought a Pixel.
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
Why?
I it's funny. I sort of just figured it out this morning. I was literally thinking about this event and about, you know, I just switched to Android. I would probably get a Pixel 2. And why is that? You know, I think we all have like our kind of criteria for why we choose whatever we choose, right? And so in the case of a smartphone, obviously a lot of people would say, you know, the camera is important to me, or the, you know, the people like iOS because it's reliable and stable and performs well and so forth. And there's all these reasons. Like, we all have our different reasons. But actually, I sort of figured out over time, well, actually over time, meaning like over breakfast, that, you know, for me personally, it kind of boils down to two things in tandem. It's the camera and the connectivity through Project Fi. And that severely limits my choices when you think about it, because if this thing was a stink bomb,
You're stuck. That's the only thing you can use.
I'm stuck. Yeah, exactly. So I could kind of stick with the existing Pixel.
They have a Motorola now, the low-end Motorola.
I know, but that's it's a mid-range phone. Mid-range. The camera's unproven.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to be as good as the flagship stuff. And so, yeah, if this had fallen apart, I mean, at that point, it's hard to say. I mean, I probably overall, as much as it would pain me to admit, would have to go to a Samsung Galaxy S8 Plus or a Note 8, and maybe one of a handful of other phones that have really good cameras. And I'd have to go back to a traditional carrier, which would be terrible on a number of levels, but primarily when I was traveling internationally. So I'm glad that it kind of worked out. I mean, it's not perfect. Nothing ever is. But in that kind of matrix of choices that we all make, I feel like the camera and the connectivity is what puts it over the top for me.
I used, by the way, I missed you guys.
Yes, right. That's right. I'm sorry, Leo. Well, of course, we enjoyed your travels from far away.
We
when
did
you come home?
Excuse me. I was just having breakfast. Friday. Friday, I got back.
So it looked like you guys had an awesome time.
We were in France.
Yeah.
But more to the point, I used both a T-Mobile iPhone and a Google Fi Pixel.
Yep.
And both are great for international travel. T-Mobile, you don't pay anything extra for. You know, got unlimited band. You get unlimited bandwidth in the U.S. You get the same thing overseas, although it's slowed down. And it is definitely slowed down. It may say LTE, but it sure ain't LTE.
Right.
And then the Fi is just as if you were at home. You still pay 10 bucks a gigabyte or fraction thereof, et cetera.
It's the best. I love that.
And, yeah, I would say, you know, both were fine. Both worked well. Neither was super fast, but you still get text messages, 20 cents a minute calling. Mm-hmm. Although I did find there, you know, they say Fi works in most countries. I found a country it doesn't work in.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Where's that?
Monaco.
Oh,
really?
But Monaco being less than a square mile, all you gotta do is you take a walk and it works.
Oh, that's funny.
So, Monaco's literally a square kilometer. It's not very big.
Right.
And it works fine in France, and I was using it in France the whole time. I'll be using it in Japan next spring and so forth. You know what else I'll be using that I thought was very interesting? And that's these new Google Clip Buds. What do they call them? Pixel Bud headphones.
Pixel Buds.
That do simultaneous translation.
Yeah, it's the the Babelfish.
That blew me away.
Right.
Yeah.
So I did order those. They're expensive, $170, I think. So Bluetooth, they're kind of like the AirPods in most respects, except for this simultaneous translation. That could be, if that really works, and I will try to use it in Japan. Imagine, you know, you're in Japan. I'm nervous about going to Japan because the language barrier is.
Right.
I can get by in French, but most
Google Translate works great in Japan.
Does it?
Based on my last trip. Yep.
And imagine if you had some headphones in.
Yeah.
Now I don't
because
know
what
how
I
the...
did was I just had to pass my phone back and forth with the person.
Right.
So this takes that step out.
Yeah, that probably worked pretty well.
Yep.
I'm not clear what happens. I mean, the other person's not wearing the headphones.
Right.
Does it come out of the phone? Like, do you say, hi, where's the train station? And it goes, and then they go, I'm sorry, my Japanese is weak. And then in my ear, I hear, you American fool, get out of my country. That is going to be amazing. But I'm not clear. It wasn't clear how it works if the person, which they won't be, isn't enabled.
Isn't wearing.
Yeah.
Right.
I guess I'll understand train announcements, though, which would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's amazing. I can't. This stuff is amazing.
It is. Yeah. I feel like some of the stuff Google showed, we are living a little bit living in the future.
Yeah. And this is, I've only just started writing the article because, you know, the Google event, like the Apple event before it, was ruined by leaks pretty much. Almost everything had leaked in this case, but the speaker stuff and the little camera thing.
And the buds. Leaked. We didn't really know that much about the Pixel Buds.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, but looking beyond that, you know, it just seemed like there was a lot more substance to the Google event than there was to the Apple event. And of course, they start off talking about a lot of hard computer science stuff.
You were kind of bored at the beginning, according to your Twitter.
Well, I guess the point is we've already seen this stuff. You've already talked about this. We're here for the phones.
Right.
Get to the damn phones.
Get to the phones.
You know,
the phones are almost the last thing they talked about.
Yeah.
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 Well, anyway, this isn't the Google show. In fact, our Google show is coming up next. But I know Paul was watching with interest.
Oh, yeah.
And just like Bill Gates, you both use Android phones. So
that's just like 80-something percent of the entire planet Earth.
right. Yeah. I think, to me is most interesting is Google, which used to be kind of platform agnostic, is now really saying, no, we're going to be a hardware ecosystem. They're echoing what Apple has said all along, which is we have to integrate the full stack hardware and software and internet.
I have mixed feelings about that. I got to be honest because, you know, even during the presentation where they talk about this pure Android experience, You're not getting a pure Android experience on a Pixel. You're actually getting a tailored pure Android experience,
a pure
right?
Google experience.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's the UI on that phone is not the same UI you would get on an actual pure Android phone. They've actually changed the UI.
Oh, interesting.
For Pixel, they did it last year, and they're doing it again this year. So I don't mean to suggest there are major changes, but there are certain things you only get with a Pixel, and it's actually not fair to call it pure Android. It's pure Android in the sense that it's Google Play and, you know, the Google apps are all in there. But as far as like the user experience goes, it's actually different. So it's in some ways, well, it's actually, there's nothing like it in the Microsoft world, to be honest. But I sort of wish they were a little more agnostic, you know, but they're clearly in that Microsoft position where they've decided they're going to compete with their own partners.
Well, that's what, see, so this is what I thought was interesting. Apple's certainly an ecosystem play. Yeah. Google now is, and even Microsoft, which for the, I mean, was the ultimate really in a platform play, but not in, not a hardware ecosystem play. Even Microsoft's now integrating the hardware stack with its, for, you know, for the first time ever. It looks as if we're going to get these parallel, and this I don't think is good for consumers. I understand it's good for companies, but for consumers, we're getting parallel hardware tracks, and you have to choose one. And you will change. You've seen how hard it was to change from Windows Phone to Android Phone. And now there's going to be a speed bump if you want to change to Apple at some point.
This is a big conversation, Leo.
The good part about the Microsoft piece of this is they don't have a phone now, right? I mean, they still have phones. We met many people in Orlando with Windows phones, by the way. But I feel like Microsoft's worldview of this now is you have a Windows PC, but we know you have somebody else's phone, and so we have to tailor our ecosystem for that.
And that's good. That's Apple used to be that way.
Yeah.
We'll make sure the Mac works with your Windows stuff because it has to.
Right. But you understand, like, that's driven by need, right? In other words,
it is. Yeah.
If these things were successful, they don't do that anymore. You know, you don't bring iTunes to Windows if you don't have to.
Exactly. I wonder, though, if Microsoft is at this point saying, gosh, I wish we had a phone platform.
Oh, I think they say that every single day.
Yeah.
Would, you know, and that would the truth to Microsoft's transformation would come out in a heartbeat because, you know, their business strategy, like any other companies, is just driven by the reality of the market.
Right.
And
but remember, Satya Nadella did not like the Nokia acquisition. He was against that, wasn't he?
He was.
Yeah.
Was that because he didn't want to do phone or because he just didn't think Nokia was
I think he realized it was an $8 billion hole that they were just going to throw there right in the toilet and press flush.
I think he knew too. You know, making phones is a money losing proposition. I mean, the manufacturing part, unless you are Apple, right?
Or Google. Well, I mean, there's a synergy. Or Samsung. We left Samsung out, but they have a platform play as well.
Samsung's unique, but you got to remember, I'm not sure about Samsung, but most phone makers don't make phones. This is all farmed out, and so. There was never a time when Apple was building their own iPhones.
Yeah,
the problem with Nokia is that they had that huge overhead of not just the factories and the facilities and the employees, but their employees, benefits packages. And, the cost that was built into every single phone that they built was similar to the cost that's built into every GM car ever made because of the same problem. You know, you've got, pensions and all this stuff kind of built in. And so it's just, you can't do it cheaply if you do it yourself. It's
you got to look at Microsoft. I mean, Apple for the model. They've perfected supply chain. Mm.
Yeah, it's why Tim Cook is there today. That was actually his contribution.
Right. They've perfected. There's no one does that better right now.
Yep. Only Tim Cook could have gone to China.
Yeah. it would behoove you if you were Google or Samsung or Apple or Microsoft to look at Apple and say, let's do what they do because it works for them.
Yeah. Well, and this is what I'm worried about.
Let's just realize we're not going to do it.
We can't do it. But in a way, Apple has made this possible. So by doing all of this, Apple has created this manufacturing monster in Shenzhen, China that other people are now using, can use.
Mm-hmm. But this just feels like losing strategy to me. In the PC world, when the PC was it, this partner thing that Microsoft did worked. It was the great model. And that model beat Apple back in that day. By the time Steve Jobs was dying and Steve Jobs and Bill Gates had kind of gotten back together and talked about it, you know, Bill Gates in the biography of Steve Jobs says to Jobs that, you know, we were both right. Both of these models can work. That's something that I understand now that both models work. But as we move forward in time, you know, the reality is that they're all chasing after the Steve Jobs model, the monolithic culture model. And by copying Apple, you're just creating these competing ecosystems again. And so I think the thing that saves it, the thing that makes it easier to switch from, say, one smartphone to another today, if Android to iOS or whatever, is that we're all using these apps that are out there in the world, and they have to be our services, and they have to work everywhere. But, you know, if iOS kind of disappears, that's going to go away too. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, it's a very tenuous model. I think, and it's the reason Windows Phone could never succeed. They could never get an in into that.
What does Microsoft? Okay, so given that Microsoft can't do a total ecosystem play, they can do some vertical integration. They are with laptops, but they're always going to need the OEMs.
Yeah.
What do you do as Microsoft in that world, competing against a Google and an Apple and an Amazon and a Samsung? What do you do if you can't do the hardware ecosystem play?
I don't think you compete with them.
I
was talking to someone in my family recently about some. Oh, because we were at Ignite. I saw my brother when we were at Ignite, and he said, "What is this show you're at?" I said, "It's a Microsoft show." And he says, "Oh, is it like how they compete with Apple or whatever?" And I said, "No." I said, "In fact, there is not a single thing at this show that has anything to do with competing with Apple." And that's the point. You know, Microsoft's future is more cloud services, backend systems, and you know, they say AI, machine learning, and quantum computing, or whatever, however you want to say it. It's not going to be in these end user things. It's not going to be in client systems. It's not going to be in software.
It's cloud.
Traditional software. It's cloud.
Cloud.
And so, yeah, they're going to compete with companies, but they're going to compete with Google in some ways. They're going to compete with AWS, and they're going to compete, I guess, with IBM. There's not going to be that many companies competing for this stuff. And it's a rich history. It's a rich future for Microsoft right there. It's very different from the Microsoft we think of traditionally, Windows 95, mid 90s. PC is dominant, you know, that kind of stuff. It's not that world, but it should be a very successful future for them.
Well, maybe they've learned a lesson that engulf and devour doesn't serve in the long run. I know they were fun.
I think they would have loved to engulf and devour. It just didn't work out that way.
Oh, they'd be doing it right now if they could. Don't get too attached to the touchy-feely marketing message out of Microsoft. If they could embrace and extend, they would extend the hell out of everything.
Here's the problem. If you decide to do the ecosystem play, it's a zero-sum game. If you win as Apple, it's because Google or Samsung or everybody else is losing. It's a zero-sum game.
Right.
If you are a services provider, you can provide services to all of the above. And you can win even if they win.
That's right. And by the way, that's beautiful because we'll just make up a scenario in the future. Some, you know, Ford Motor Company in 2022 will come out with this in-car system that's based on some, let's say, Apple software. And everyone's going to freak out and say, "Oh, Microsoft had this 20 years ago, blah, blah, blah," whatever. But the thing is, Microsoft doesn't have to lose out on that if Apple's using or Ford's using
Azure.
Microsoft services on the back end.
Yeah, which
and
they will.
And again, it's not exciting for me to write about, but that's a wonderful future for Microsoft. It's a guaranteed future.
I think that's probably the decision that Nadella made, right? That's this is where we're going
to
play.
You play to your strengths. And Microsoft's strengths are in the enterprise. The enterprise is moving to the cloud. This is beautiful for them. And I haven't written this yet, but I mean, let me not get too far ahead in the notes. But I mean, there's some argument to be made about, you know, Microsoft consumer versus enterprise and, you know, where the company is even today, not the future, but just today.
Mm-hmm. We'll get to that, but we have to save the gonging for later.
Well, it's going to be a highly gongable moment.
It is going to be a highly gong show, I fear, today.
There's going to be a lot of gonging going on, but we'll get to that in just a second. Mary Jo Foley, Paul Thurrott. We also have news about 1709, finally, Redstone 4. I was going to say 3. 4.
It is 3.
It is 3.
1709
is 3. The next
and then
one's 4.
4. And then goodbye to Groove, and as Paul has aptly retweeted, November 7th isn't very far off. Do you have
finally some good news, Leo?
I think you have a review unit, don't you? Can you talk about it?
Sorry, Leo, you're not coming in correctly.
The show today brought to you by. Okay, enough said. The show today brought to you by Betterment, the largest independent online financial advisor. These guys, look, we know, everybody knows you've got to save, you've got to build your nest egg for retirement, for buying a house, for that family, for college, for your kids and all of that stuff. But the real choice you have is how you do this. And, you know, I'll give you an example. My daughter was buying certificates of deposit. Now, she's only 25. But she would go to the bank when she got enough in her savings account and buy a CD. And She just wasn't getting much return. I think it was under 1% return. So I said, Abby, Betterment.com. Betterment has 270,000 customers that do something, and they do something really unique. In fact, it's almost hard to characterize. So based on what you tell Betterment, and you get to choose how much you share with them, but, you know, your timeline, your retirement plans, your goals, they're going to make tailored recommendations on how, not just what to invest, but how much to invest, how much risk you might want to take, the type of investment account you have. Abby was really interested in the SRI, the socially responsible investing portfolio, which I think is a great idea. I can't use Betterment because I do their ads, and the SEC rules prohibit endorsements from on financial products from users. So I have to sit on the sidelines and watch, but at least my family members can take advantage of this, and you can take advantage of this. The socially responsible investing gives you the flexibility to reduce your investment in companies that don't meet your particular social, environmental, or governance benchmarks. And I think that's, in this day and age, that's great news. You always get a clear view of your net worth because you can import all of your outside accounts and sync them, bank accounts, other investments, your home, your car, and all that. Another reason to choose Betterment, very low, completely transparent advisory fees, only 0.25% annual fee. That if at that level, and for most people, this is the level, I think most geeks is the level you want. You have unlimited messaging access to the licensed financial experts through the Betterment app, which is, by the way, a great app. If you want to go to phone access, you can get unlimited phone access to this their CFPs with a 0.4%, still very low, 0.4% annual fee. This is the most important thing I want to underscore, and it's something you ought to ask any financial investor you talk to. Are you a fiduciary? That means their sole and utter responsibility is to you. They don't get commissions for recommending funds. They don't have funds of their own. They do what's right for you. And, of course, every Betterment CFP is a fiduciary. Betterment cares about keeping your money and your data secure. Nowadays, that's a big issue. Of course, advanced data encryption, two-factor authentication. Your account is absolutely safe. Now, I should always say this. Investing involves risk. In fact, there's a very risk and reward are closely tied. But for the right way to do it and the way that's managed to your needs and likes, you got to go to betterment.com/windows. For a limited time, you can get up to 1 year managed free. There's some terms and so forth. For more information, just go to betterment.com/windows. Betterment. Rethink what your money can do. It really is a better way to invest for today. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, 1709. But I still don't. When are we getting it? This is the fall creators update, right?
Yeah. It's obviously coming 1709.
What's the date? Oh,
yeah.
Oh, it's October.
Now we're in the month.
Is it finally, yep. Like, is it finally done? I know we don't say RTM, but is it finally cooked?
I think it's fair to say it's pretty
so.
Much.
You, what do? You read the Donna Sakaar tweets and try to interpret what she's saying? Or
no, what happens is they release a build, and then instead of releasing a new build number, they increment the build, and that indicates that that's it.
Ah.
You know? Right. The thing that actually goes out to consumers on the 17th or whatever actually might be one of the earlier CUs. Like,
oh,
it
really?
Could be, you know what?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, it's a little screwy how they do it, but I think at some point in time they kind of freeze it. They never come out and say it. And that's the thing I think
and
we
you know,
both
she,
don't understand.
We thought she might this time, right? Because she had tweeted something a while back where somebody said to her, "Are you going to tell us when it's RTM?" And she's like, "Of course."
Of course. And we're going to tell you that on October 17th.
She's going to tell you that the day after people start getting it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
like
in
2 weeks after they've been, you know, incremented the builds, you know,
right.
Oh, guess five
what?
Or six times.
You know that thing you just
this
got?
Is it.
That's it.
Right.
Remember the thing you got a week ago Tuesday? Yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
You know, the way
it's
been working has in the past few releases of feature updates is they declare something the RTM. They don't call it that, or well, they do call it that in their documents, actually. And then they continue to update it and patch it. And then when you get it as a consumer, you get that build from like maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, and then cumulative updates to that build. You get it on day one. That's how it works now, right?
And you know, we can kind of make fun of that a little bit, but the truth is this, it makes sense. It's fine. You know, if you get 1709 on October 17th, or if you get 1709 on March 1st or some date in the distant future, it doesn't really matter. You're going to get that exact build. That build doesn't change. You're going to get whatever the most recent cumulative update is, and you'll probably get a couple of other little driver type things, whatever it might be. And you'll reboot your computer. And sorry, but that has to happen. And then the other little bit that you know, doesn't really change, but it's something just to kind of add in on the side is, you know, the app situation. And so we've seen even since the past couple of days, they've updated, you know, say the Photos app, and they're updating the Groove app, which we'll get to. The entire time we've been testing this thing over the course of the summer or whatever, we never saw that stuff. And then all of a sudden, right now at the end, we're getting these updates. And so, you know, the apps are updated on their own schedules. And same thing, if we flash forward to March, you could go into the store, wait for it to happen automatically, but you'll have some list of app updates and your apps will be updated to whatever the latest version is that day.
Yep.
It's an okay system. It's, there are other parts of this that are complex.
I was thinking about this the other day. It's like, we're obsessed with knowing which build is RTM, but does it really matter?
It's such a, it is a moment in time. Well, only reason it doesn't matter. Well,
I mean, it matters because of servicing, right? Like the date they declare something, the RTM build, is when the servicing clock starts ticking, I believe. But does it matter? And well, it's also when OEMs get the code, right?
It matters on a few levels. Like late in the game, they actually added a couple of features, right?
That's
so I would say from today on out, it doesn't matter, you know, because we're not going to have any functional changes. There'll be fixes and things that come in cumulative updates. We should use the Microsoft terminology, quality updates, right?
Quality
we're not going to get feature updates, right? So from a functional perspective, as of today, I would say, no, it doesn't matter. Cats just walked right in front of the camera.
He's freaking out today. I don't know why. sorry.
I don't think he likes it when you're on the podcast. This is going to be a problem.
He does not. He doesn't.
What's his name? Sriracha? Like,
Sriracha. He's tipping everything over and running across.
Yep. He's jealous.
No, that's
cats
how cats lash out.
They
it's
get
like
jealous.
You're paying attention to someone else and I don't like it.
Exactly.
Yeah. I know. He was quiet all day today till
No, he could tell you're not paying any attention. Isn't that funny?
Yep.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I had to. So long ago, I trained my cats not to do this because they would sit there at my door and they would try to open the door to my office.
Right.
And eventually, I just had to block it. And so they eventually stopped. It took a long time.
Yeah,
but I had to leave him out of my office because otherwise they would just be horrible pain.
And if I leave him out, he cries so loud. Oh, no, he's ringing the gong. Okay.
Wow. Cats are so smart.
Don't let the rock out of shut up.
Like, the gong. Gong those guys.
That's awesome. Gong.
That is so funny.
Okay, stop.
Wow.
He's going to need his own pop-up like you know who. I won't mention names. But.
That is so awesome. Okay.
Sorry.
That's what happens when you name a cat after a hop.
I know. Yeah.
Somebody in the chat room wants to know about Server 1709.
Yeah. So, you know what? I don't know, Paul, if you saw this, but so we knew they were going to, quote, launch Windows Server 1709. Mm-hmm. At build. Okay, so launch is a loaded word for Microsoft, right? It doesn't mean ship. It doesn't mean actually release it. And so they didn't do any of those things. Right. No. They barely talked about it. I know.
Yep.
So, but what? Then they put out a blog post that talked about making 1709 available in early October to, I believe, to MSDN and volume licensee customers, which is weird because October 17th is the rollout for 1709 on client. And I was thinking those two would roll out together.
Like, why wouldn't they? What's the, why couldn't they just hit on the same day?
I would think they would try to make them hit on the same day, but it's we're into early October now. And so I don't think 1709 on server has come out yet. I haven't heard anybody who got it yet, but it should be out. Either on the 17th or before, I guess.
I mean, aside, you know, who are you going to hear from that gets this? It's going to be some enthusiast that's on MSDN or something, right?
Yeah,
you're never
going to
hear from
hear.
A business that.
No.
What?
And the minute it is on MSDN, you and I will get a tweet from somebody.
Of course,
who
but
sees
I mean,
it.
But you don't hear. You know, it's not like you know, Wells Fargo just announced that they're rolling out Windows Server 1709. This is
no.
This is
no.
Never
plus, businesses don't tend to just like deploy it, right? Even though they may have been tested.
We put it on all our systems here. let's disrupt everything.
What's going on? What's going on? It's the cat. Get out of it. Sirachi. Come on, kitty. Just hold her. All she wants to do is be held.
He wants to be on the show.
Yeah, well, just hold him. That's all right. Put him on the mic.
Just don't let him walk on your keyboard.
Let him sit on your head.
All right. Yeah, actually, I mean, our cat lays on my wife's shoulder, so it's like a shawl or something.
Yes.
A heavy, purring shawl.
Big. I think he's too big for that. I think Mary Jo's
back. He is a little big for that. Yeah.
He's massive. Massive kitty cat. all right. Now I've completely lost the thread of our conversation.
Sorry.
We did server, right?
Yeah, we said client server.
Yeah. So what's the mixed reality briefing Microsoft had? I saw that and I thought, this was yesterday. I thought, oh, shoot, did we miss a Microsoft event, an announcement?
No.
Big news?
No.
It was a private event. It wasn't even webcast. It was in San Francisco. It was for select journalists and some analysts. And we kind of had heard that it wasn't going to be a huge news event, and it was not. They talked about another new mixed reality headset being available, this one from Samsung. They talked about a company they bought called Altspace VR, which is a social networking virtual reality company that almost went out of business this summer, and I guess Microsoft instead bought them. And what else did they talk about? They talked about I'm trying to think. What else was newsy?
So I watched this thing because I obviously don't value my time. There was an interesting little tidbit from Alex Kipman, I thought.
Oh, you watched kind of early on. You watched it afterwards, right?
That's right. He used different language. I'm going to get this probably wrong a little bit, but you know, there is a very big difference between something like a HoloLens, which we used to be an augmented reality headset, right? Where you can see the world around you. It doesn't block your view. And then there's some kind of an overlay of a field of view that has holograms in it, as we used to call them. And then there's these VR headsets, which is what a mixed reality headset really is. It's VR. Yeah. And VR blocks your view, right? You don't get to see the outside world. Everything you see is transmitted on the inside of that headset. And actually, you have a broader field of view typically than you would with the AR stuff in HoloLens. I think he called those transparent headsets and opaque headsets. I could have that language a little bit off. But he did mention that their goal was to bring those two things together in the future, that they would eventually have headsets that did both. So those are actually, aside from the, you know, the blocking of the view and not blocking the view, are actually completely different technologies, right? Like I said, like AR versus VR. And I'm going to have to go back and look at this more today because the Google event just happened. But Google, when they showed off AR, talked about the mixing of AR and VR on the phone. And I do sort of feel like Microsoft might have jumped the gun a little bit on HoloLens. Conversely, they're a little bit behind on VR when you think about it. You know, VR has been around in the PC for a while. But that some future that combine these things, which I would call mixed reality, like this, like actual mixed reality, the mixing of VR and AR, if you will, is an interesting and potentially viable platform for Microsoft on the on the Windows PC, right?
Was he implying the same mixing the two in a single view on a single headset,
right.
or
that's
did he
exactly
mean
right.
connecting to? Because they've shown the scenario where you can connect a HoloLens.
No, he
to
meant a single headset,
right?
Yeah, a single headset. And so, I have to think that has really been the goal. You know, I'm sure what they wanted to do was bring HoloLens to the PC, and for whatever reason, technical cost, whatever, it just didn't make sense. And so it was like, well, what can we do? And these MR headsets are just virtual reality. They do have that one sensor on them so that they can do location sensing without having to put stuff around your house or your room or whatever. But they're the technology that you're using is just VR.
Yeah. They also called, I don't know if you caught this or if it was in that clip, but he called Windows 10, quote, the first spatial operating system yesterday. That was the first time I've heard him use that language.
That's right. Yeah.
And the reason they're calling it that is because it has Windows Mixed Reality built into the Fall Creators Update and the Spring Create, well, not Spring Creators, the original Creators Update, right? I mean,
yep.
So,
well, Leo missed this talk from last week, but as we discussed last week, Microsoft being first doesn't always work out for them.
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't mean to go too far off the side street here, but yeah. You know, I looked at the Apple stuff from a month ago. I looked at the Google stuff today when they start doing AR on the phone. Mm-hmm. And I think this is where it's going to succeed, you know?
Right.
And as we talked at the top of the hour, the, you know, Microsoft's defeat in mobile has these ripple effects. And mm-hmm. not being able to have that audience for what to me is the mainstream use of VR, or a more mainstream use of AR than what Microsoft is doing with HoloLens, is mm-hmm. it's a shame. Because that's a key piece of the puzzle that they're just not going to have.
Yeah. Right, because they don't have a phone, so they can't do something like ArcCore, ArcKit, right? I mean, they could do. Yeah. I guess they could somehow maybe do it for other people's phones using their mixed reality platform. Right.
Microsoft builds apps on iOS and Android. They could build, you know, AR companion apps, absolutely, and I'm sure they will. Yeah. But you know, it just doesn't mm-hmm. give them that same platform integration thing that they could have had if they had a viable mobile platform.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yesterday's event was mostly the mixed reality event was supposed to be presenting Microsoft's end-to-end solution. I think they were trying to make it clearer for people that this is what we mean when we say mixed reality. And from tweets of people who were there, I was like, yeah, it sounds like they made it clearer, but maybe not 100% clearer. But
I feel like they did make it clearer. Like they actually did use the term virtual reality. I'd have to go back and watch it again. I guess I could be picky about it. But the other thing that they did, which I thought was okay, was, you know, I've complained a lot in the past about their stage presentations of HoloLens and how the guy will be standing up there on stage and they broadcast this thing where you see holograms all around him. It's this incredible immersive experience. And I've sort of said, well, you know, the experience of using HoloLens is nothing like that. You see holograms through this tiny little, you know, mail slot. So in the demos they did of the VR stuff, you could see like a ghostly image of him sort of green screened over the virtual reality presentation on the screen. And again, you're seeing, you know, a big broad field of view. But, you know, in VR, that's actually fairly accurate. And I thought that putting him in the middle of it, even though that's not what you see, because obviously it's a first-person view in real life, and you're seeing kind of a third-person view. I thought it was actually a pretty effective way of presenting that information. So, you know, after, I don't know what this is, 3 years of complaining about this or whatever, I mean, okay. That seemed good to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was also some, I can't believe I'm bringing this up, Halo Recruit. So some Halo-related thing that was part of this.
Halo is so funny because when Halo came out, it made me queasier than any game in history. And I went back when they did their reboot of Halo, and I got all of them. And the original one made me sick again. The last thing I want to do is put on a headset.
Master Chief. Please don't be confused.
It's not Halo, though.
It's not one of those games. It's not Master Chief either. It's a Halo experience. If you think about, I don't know, a couple of years ago, they did the demo game where alien robot things seem to come out of the wall and they fly around and you shoot a gun at them or whatever. That's actually kind of a neat little experience, but it's very limited, right? It's augmented reality, so it works with the world you're in. So the walls of the room maybe will be what they're used to come out of the wall. It's like that. It's just a couple of Halo looking creatures. You can fire, you know, a gun or whatever.
It's a Halo experience, like Pizza Hut's a pizza experience.
Very good. It's not like going to Italy, but
okay, got it.
Close your eyes.
Okay.
But it kind of implies, doesn't it, that they're thinking like, how can we make Halo fit into this view?
I'm sure there's demand for that, right? Yeah, right. They can't. But there's no solving the problem that what Leo just described is tenfold true on VR. That head bob made me queasy.
I would never even attempt it.
As you should not.
Well, years ago, I tried. It was like an Unreal Engine based world game. You know, simple game on. I think it was the beta version of Oculus Rift. And just walking around that world made me sick to my stomach. I mean, you couldn't do it for more than a couple of minutes. It was awful.
This is the sticking point on VR. I'm sorry. It's just not. And the nice thing is,
you can do about it.
Mixed reality or AR doesn't have that issue, it seems. Because you see the real world. If for some reason it doesn't bother me. Yeah.
That's right. Mm. If they can ever figure this out, this is going to be the biggest thing in the world. But until they do, you know, we're kind of limited.
I'm kind of done with VR. I just do not see.
Yeah.
I don't see them.
This is good timing for Microsoft then.
Yeah. Thank you. They bought Alt Space VR. What's that?
2017.
It's going to be the year of VR. Yep.
So
also the year of the laptop.
Yep. And the Linux desktop. Here we go.
I had never heard of AltSpace till this event. But I guess they're big in the social networking VR space.
Yes.
Like
they're huge.
The leading platform.
Well,
or one of the
leading platforms. You could be the leading platform.
I don't know.
It's a tiny. Yes.
Well, but it's so we're talking about a niche market here. I think it makes sense I'm not saying it makes sense to buy them. I don't know what they paid. But to bring in some form of a community to this is one of the things I think is going to help a lot because it's going to be a small community, but if they're super active and engaged and whatever, that's kind of what you need. So,
but you know what? You know what was interesting? What was interesting about the wording on it was Microsoft said, you know what? AltSpace VR is about immersive communication. So I'm like, okay. So, you know, there are consumer applications of this, obviously, but then they, and they mentioned you can use it for attending yoga classes, comedy shows, blah, blah, blah. But also, people just talking to each other and attending meetups and that kind of communication too.
That's right. Yep. So next year when Frank Shaw does his Build 2018 pre-brief with the press, he'll be doing it with mixed reality. He'll be standing in your living room.
He'll be visiting you.
Yep.
Let's hope that doesn't happen that quick.
You know this is going to happen.
I know.
I've come to your living
room. As soon as you hear it, you know it's going to happen.
Yikes, shmikes.
Yeah.
Windows 10 Photos app. That's interesting. This was updated.
It actually is interesting, Leo. Well, remember back at Build 2017, they showed off that incredible story remix demo with the augmented reality and 3D effects, the dinosaur chasing the girl across the field. Yeah.
By the way, Google, did you see that Google just showed that in there? Yeah.
I know. this is what I mean. It's like, terrible.
Yeah, what goes around comes
around. You got to bring it to the right. Delivery vehicle. But anyway, there's been a lot of back and forth on whether that thing is a brand new app or part of the Photos app. It doesn't really matter. Apparently, it's going to be part of the Photos app. And it looked like it was never going to make it into the Fall Creators Update. But recently, why do I keep forgetting his name? The guy from OneNote is named...
Chris Pratley,
thank you. I hate that. I'm sorry, Chris. He's a good guy.
He was great in Guardians of the Galaxy. I love him.
Yeah, he's a great guy. And he said on Twitter a month or two ago, actually, it's not dead. We're still doing it. And this past week, everyone got it. So actually, I think it's available everywhere in Windows 10. Windows 10, the shipping version, if you're on the fast or slow ring and the insider preview, I think you can get the new version of the Photos app. And it has a couple of new features. It's kind of a search functionality, whatever. But the big thing is actually a new video editor. And this is big on two levels because, one, they got rid of Movie Maker a year or so ago. And people have been really complaining about Microsoft not having a replacement for it. I thought this thing was going to be kind of cartoonish and not that great. But actually, if you miss Movie Maker, the video editor that's available in Photos is very, very good. You can obviously use it to make photo slideshows, but you can also bring in videos and edit them, add titles and transitions, all that stuff. It's really, really nice. But it also provides some, not all, but some of the augmented reality capabilities that they showed off at Build. And so you can add... hologram. I'm not sure if hologram is even the right term anymore, but you can add these kind of hologram type creatures or characters or whatever to your videos, and they'll appear to be rooted in whatever the surface is in that part of the video. And so if you have like a soccer field or something, you can put a little cartoon dinosaur there. It's not as realistic as the stuff they showed up at Build, and a lot of it's just kind of AR overlay stuff. Like there's a fall effect I use, so the movie opens and like leaves kind of appear to fall from the sky over the video, and then they eventually fade away. But actually, it's pretty cool. So I think we've gone from big promises and no follow through to big promises and some follow through, and maybe more important, just from a sheer video editing perspective, just having that thing in Windows is really cool. So it's good news across the board, I would say.
Good. Edge, I was very pleased. You know, I put Windows 10S back on my laptop, on my Surface.
Oh, you did
laptop.
Get that going.
Yeah, well, except that it won't activate. I don't know why it won't activate, but that's weird, right? That it should be entitled to this. This isn't...
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. That should be automatic.
Yeah. I could call Microsoft. But, of course, immediately I lost Chrome. And we, by the way, 3 weeks ago, verified that Chrome is gone. Just gone.
That's right.
Sure. So I miss LastPass and I miss uBlock Origin, my ad blocker, but they're Edge extensions. Install them.
Yeah.
And it's actually, you know, I've been using Edge. It's a pretty, I'm pretty comfortable with it. I was surprised, though. You say there's 70 Edge extensions now. That's pretty good.
Opinions vary on that one, Leo.
You think there should be more?
Yeah, I mean, some people have kind of wondered why the floodgates didn't just open, right? What's going on there? So remember, before they actually released this capability, they were, I think they originally said you could just bring Chrome extensions over, they would work fine. And then the story kind of changed to, oh, actually, you can't bring them in unchanged, but it's super easy to port a Chrome extension. And we kind of don't really hear about that stuff anymore. But they announced something, I think, sometime in the past week where they're saying, you know, we only have 70 extensions, but we're really shooting for quality over quantity. And it's like, yeah, I guess you would present it in that fashion, sure, you know.
Yeah.
But I would say for the extensions that I need, and like you just said, Leo, it's pretty much all there.
That's
I mean, always the big case, right?
I mean, people say, oh, our app store has got 18 million apps. Yeah, but who cares?
Yeah.
And as long as it's got the apps you need.
Yep.
And like I said, all I care about is LastPass and uBlock.
I want an extension that stops Google from prompting me to use Chrome every time I visit one of their sites.
That is driving me nuts. Yes.
That's the extension I want.
There's still no ad block. Auto video play block, right?
No.
Yeah,
only Safari has that, though. You know, everybody else is. Yeah. You know, that's the one reason to get a Mac and upgrade to High Sierra, because of that. Man, that's
Come
a good
on.
Reason.
I have that blocker on Chrome on my Windows 7.
Chrome has one? Does it work?
Yeah.
Does it work reliably? Because I've tried those before.
Chrome is also going to auto-mute autoplay videos in the future as well.
Right. Yeah, that's something Safari just started doing.
There's nothing worse. And you know, we all browse web, so you've seen this stuff. But, I mean, they've gotten really insidious. And so in the past, remember, you might open multiple tabs and some tab is broadcasting video, and you have no idea which one it is, and you'd have to scroll up and down on the pages to find it. It was really irritating. Now, you know, there's a little kind of audio cue up in the tab. That's cool. But the other thing they do now, which is crazy, is you open several tabs, and it won't start playing until you hit the page. So you could read an article, tab to the next
one. Yes. We were talking about that
and
yesterday.
And then you hit the third one, and all
of
a sudden
you don't know where all that
noise
is coming from.
Yep. It's coming from the tab you just opened.
Way back when.
And it is incredibly irritating. Yeah. It's incredible.
Grumble, grumble, grumble.
Yep. Yep.
Grumble, grumble, grumble.
Yep.
Grumble. Anyway, 70
it's like
seems like
to rest until the web is unusable. You know,
that would be a nice one to have. I would like that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
It would.
Yeah. Let's see. Should we move to Redstone 4?
Sure.
Here we got Redstone 3 coming.
So
that
much to say.
It's time to say Redstone 4 time.
Right. I can't wait to find out what they're going to call this one. Do you think they're going to keep using the creator's name?
I wonder.
I would bet.
But what do you say after that? They're not going to call that the Spring Creators Update, hopefully.
Of course you do. Sure you do.
No, you know why that would be confusing? Because the first Creators Update was in the spring.
But that wasn't the Spring Creators Update. That was just the Creators Update.
But you heard me accidentally call it that today, right?
Yeah,
and I hope they don't keep using it. I would love to see them just switch to numbers, but they're never going to do that.
Well, the reason I think this is when you think about where platforms are and all that kind of stuff, and what's the big thing about Windows versus mobile platforms, you know, I would have called it productivity, but creativity works. Mm. You know, we're all creators. You go to the PC to create, you know.
Right.
We don't so much go to the PC to consume. You know, obviously that happens, but, you know, when you pick a PC over like an iPad or whatever, primarily it's because you want to sit down at your keyboard and type, you want to grab your mouse and, you know, create art or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's the focus. I mean,
I know. Why not call it the security update?
Because it's boring. You got to make it sound like you want to draw people in.
I know. At least I didn't call it the mixed reality update or something like that, I guess, but
yeah, that'd be far too long.
It'll be the quantum computing update.
That's right. Yeah. You thought you had 4 cores in your computer. Well, now you have 16. Thanks, Quantum.
You know, I also wonder when they're going to give us like a rundown of some of the main features that they expect to put in Redstone 4. I mean, it has to happen after October 17th because that's the big rollout for fall Creators Update. But when?
Yeah, we're running out of time, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it won't be at that Microsoft event in London, I wouldn't think. No, I'm saying it wouldn't be.
No. I mean, maybe they'll wait till next year, like early next year, start it off with.
It's so late, though. You know, with this biannual, is that the right term? Yeah. When you have twice a year. Mm-hmm. Release schedule, you got to get moving on this stuff. I mean, they must already know what it is. We're 6 months away from its release.
I know. Yep.
Which I will just reiterate is a huge mistake. But
the timeline update?
Timeline update. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
No. But what was in that last build? I didn't even write about it. You wrote about it.
It is the most awful thing to even have to describe. So, you know, there's a Fluent Design language.
Oh, that's why I didn't write about
system,
it.
System, sorry. Fluent Design System. Fluent which is kind of an evolving system. Thing.
Fluent or which, fluid?
Fluent.
Fluent.
Okay, because fluid would be terrible.
It has user experiences that are influenced by non-2D computing environments like augmented reality and so forth. You know, if you think about like how a button might look in Windows 95, the selected button in a dialog box would be kind of bolded, like it has kind of a bold line around it. But if you think about like a 3D augmented reality environment, you use different forms of highlighting to indicate things that are selected, like a light-based selection or whatever. So on that terrible note, they're adding this to Windows, and part of the Fluent Design System is, I've forgotten the name of it, but you know, seriously, who cares? It doesn't matter. The point is, as you kind of mouse over stuff in a list, it lights up, but the light leads into the next item, and the next item down or up in this list is slightly lit up, so it looks like a light source is happening. And it provides you with some kind of visual cue that you can select that thing too. Mm-hmm. So they've added that to the all apps list in the start menu. And that was the one new feature.
Wow. I swear to
Yeah, they still aren't putting the real features there yet.
Reveal highlight is what it's called. Sorry.
Reveal highlight.
Yeah, it's a light-based selection indication.
Okay.
That's because we're really advanced now in human interface design.
Well, I mean, Mary Jo mentioned what you call the spatial OS. You know, Windows 10 is a spatial OS. And so, that stuff works fine in 2D. The truth is you open the start, you know, it makes sense. You can look at it, it makes sense.
No,
it might make a lot more sense if you're looking at apps in 3D space.
Yes.
Those subtle cues are not a bad thing. I'm not
If I could see them, I would like them. I just don't ever, like when people just say, look at this app, it's like a great example of Fluent Design. I'm like, I don't even know what I'm looking for at.
These are features you don't see. You just sense.
Yes, you just have to intuit them.
You sense them. Yes. Your inner mind gathers it.
One of the best examples of Fluent Design so far has been the Groove app.
Okay, we're not there yet. Hold on.
Too soon.
Hold on.
Too soon.
Sorry.
Yeah, how are you going to demo it without the Groove app? You can't show it anymore.
I know. Well, so there needs to be a new app that has Fluent.
No, the Groove app is not going away. That's a big part of the story.
That's true. Yeah. So Redstone 4, we still don't know very much about what's going to be in there. After October 17th, people will be moved to, who are in the Fast Ring and Insiders are going to be moved to that ring, right? Like they're going to be testing Redstone 4.
I think it's reasonable to assume that the build features that didn't make it into RS3 will be in RS4,
right.
You know, for the most part.
So timeline and cloud clipboard.
Yeah. And actually, Joe Belfiore said that. He said that insiders would get some of that stuff like timeline, I think it was in the fall, you know, in the insider preview, meaning we'll come in the spring for everyone else.
Right.
All right.
Yeah, otherwise...
It's all good news.
Let us move along then. To Microsoft Groove. We hardly knew ye.
Well.
Groove Music Pass is shuttering, not Groove.
That's right.
Because Groove, Groove is the media player, right? You can't.
That's right. The music playing application will still work with your local music, meaning the music that's on your PC, as well as the music that is in your OneDrive.
On Windows devices.
On Windows PCs, for the most part, yeah.
Right, but not on if you have it on Android or iOS, no, right?
There was a Groove for Android and iOS?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Oh, all right.
Yeah. Okay. And there's one on, an Xbox One, of course. Yeah, I'm sorry. So the sort of side story to this, though, is that the other thing that's changing is they're not going to sell music anymore from the store. So when you go into the store app on Windows 10 or on the Xbox, you'll see apps and games, and you'll see ebooks for some reason, and you'll see movies and TV shows, and you will not see music. And that's a little weird.
I can't say I mind that, because I would always find music when I was searching for an app.
Yeah.
I'd hear all these weird songs with the same name.
Music was the one non-problematic purchase in the store because it would work everywhere. So if for some reason, I'm not saying this ever happened, but if you notice that Microsoft had a better price on the Taylor Swift album you were just dying to get, you could buy it there and then go play it in iTunes and it would work fine. And you could put it.
You were actually buying music.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to do that.
Yeah.
Right.
But well, I don't
but
know.
You can do that with other music stores. The problem is music stores aren't it
nobody
anymore.
Buys music.
Everybody streams
right?
now. Yeah.
I know. And you know what I had noticed, and I don't know if this is something unique to Groove, because we should say also, Paul and I both use Groove. Like, a lot of people are attacking us on the web this week about this, and I'm like, you know what? We both use Groove. Like,
although
the users,
I actually did. I just switched to Spotify, actually. But yes, okay. I used Groove for years.
Can I just say Spotify's better? Or don't you agree, Paul?
That's what we're going to have now.
Yeah.
And,
I do, but okay, so two sides of that story real quick. Just Spotify is better. Okay. The Spotify family plan is so reasonably priced. It's not a no-brainer. Yeah. It is just smack you in the face, obvious. But what it doesn't do is allow you to easily use your own music. And so that was the one nice thing about Groove. Apple does it through iTunes Match. Google Play Music does it for free, by the way. If you have your own music, if you bought music at some point, ripped it from CD, whatever it was, you could put it up in the cloud and it would be in your collection. And there's a lot of music I own that is not in Spotify, is not in Google Play Music, is not in Apple's catalog. Was not in Microsoft's catalog. And so I know maybe there's some kind of a weird market like of people like me who still have music they actually purchased. And I know, my kids couldn't care less about this kind of stuff, but that was a big deal for me. And I do miss that on Spotify.
But let me ask you a question about Spotify. Cause I'm not using it yet, but I will. So lately when I've been using Groove, a lot of times when I go to stream a song, it says not available due to licensing restrictions. Is that a Groove problem and Microsoft problem, or is that just more and more artists don't want their music streamed?
It could be either one.
I know. Because that made me start to wonder if they were going to stay committed to Groove when that started happening to me more and more. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. Yeah. Because
there,
I used to feel like I could
stream
artists, anything.
Right? And I think Taylor Swift did that. Actually, she pulled her music from streaming services at one point, I believe.
I wasn't trying to stream Taylor, if you were wondering.
Only free streaming services. She wanted to get paid for her music.
Right, right.
Okay, well, I have not experienced that on other services. So I guess what I'm trying to say is it could be either, sure. I don't think you'll experience that problem. I'm curious to see what your experience is going to be, because we all have our own music collections and choices and whatever. And what I've discovered is that, the majority of stuff I listen to is of course in the service. But there's a lot of music I really like that, I'd ripped from CD a long time ago. I've carted it around like an idiot on various drives and NAS systems and whatever.
Yeah, no, I still have 10,000 songs that I bought or ripped.
Yeah. It would be really neat if I said this to Microsoft when I talked to them about this move. They're offering a wizard in the Groove app that will move people over. Will move their playlists and their collections, meaning the stuff that was in the store, right? Not your own music.
Right.
If it's not in the store. So I, some months ago, remember I had
just
a
bite you?
Yeah. The cat just bit me.
Still talking to those guys, huh? What do I have to do?
Yeah, he doesn't like us talking about Groove.
No, here it is.
What do I have to do?
He doesn't like this Groove conversation in the least.
So remember 2 years ago, Microsoft gave me a bunch of albums for Christmas.
Yeah.
I own those now.
Oh, yeah.
Right. That's right.
Oh, do I have to somehow do something to them to keep them?
You do. And I let's save that for later, because that's one of my tips.
Okay, good. For later. I'll pay attention.
You are going to have to do something about that, yes.
All right.
So, Groove. Anyway, Mary Jo and I live in we all live in a bubble of some kind. But the bubble that Mary Jo and I live in is called Microsoft Land. And in Microsoft Land, we deal with all the Microsoft guys who buy, rent, or subscribe to every single thing that Microsoft does. And I think that's how the world works. And one of the things that's maybe a little eye-opening to these people is that, like, when Windows Phone disappears after 2 years of hardship and they act surprised about it, it's like, guys, you know, they kind of telegraphed this. And I'm not saying that they telegraphed Groove per se, but honestly, it's not particularly difficult to move from one streaming service to another. I mean, when you consider, like, platform changes, I mean, this is probably one of the easiest imaginable. And if you really were using Groove Music Pass, you know, moving to spot. Okay.
Something horrible has happened to Mary Jo.
Yeah, bathroom or something. The menace. Look at her. Look at him.
Oh, man. Sriracha bit my finger. Sriracha. What did he do? Pull down the camera?
Yep.
Wow. You know, people say animals are dumb, but no. This is one heck of a smart cat. He knows exactly what's going on. Stop talking to that camera.
And yeah, they're very clear about what they want, you know, even though they can't speak the language.
I was just watching him. I'm like, no.
Sriracha ate my camera.
Why does Sriracha have an English accent, Leo?
Because it's Charlie bit my finger. I'm doing the... Yeah, never mind. Okay. You wouldn't remember.
No, and I feel like they did kind of telegraphing this. And in fact, what was that woman's name? Ellen, somebody who is like the champion for Groove. She recently left the team.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Paul's about to drink out of a giant Boston Red Sox beer can. What the hell are you doing? This show. When did I lose control?
What has happened to the show?
What has happened to the show?
Cats are taking over.
It's like Betty Hill show. Okay. Where were we?
Groove again.
You said. Yeah.
When Ellen left. Ellen,
that's right.
I can't remember her last name. Ellen Ment, I think is her handle. But she left the team, and I was like, oh, she was like the champion of Groove, right? And the front facing person on it on Twitter. And when she left the team, I was like, oh, I wonder what's going on there, right?
It's funny. They never did the family plan, obviously. I think that for a lot of people was something they would.
That was rumored, right?
Critical, though. That's critical.
Yeah, it's critical. Yeah. But they did kind of show up over the past year by providing some of the music discoverability stuff that, you know, Apple Music and Spotify in particular are very good at, these like artist playlists and discover playlists and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I think they kind of did the minimum, but I'm sure what Microsoft discovered was that this is just not a viable business. There just aren't enough people using it. We literally know every single one of them. And so in our little Microsoft land world, there are a lot of these guys. And man, it was doom and gloom on Monday or Tuesday, whatever day that must have been Monday. It was a freaking disaster. Like, it was crazy how bad the reaction was. And it's, I'm getting a little tired of having the same conversation over and over again with this crowd, because it's like, guys, how do you not understand what's happening with Microsoft these days? Like, and I sort of feel like, why would you even have movies and TV? Like, why even bother? You know?
Yeah.
Well, we know iTunes is coming, by the way. And if Amazon ever shows up with an actual store app, you could imagine Microsoft saying, we don't need to be here anymore. And so I'm confused by... I'm confused by a lot, frankly. But as far as the Microsoft Consumer Services apps thing goes, their need to have a music app or a music service, I should say, movies and TV service, an ebook service, I just don't even see it. Other than the fact that if Microsoft did not provide that stuff, most Windows 10 users wouldn't have a viable option there. So now that we have a viable option in the store for music, they got out of music. Well, you can kind of imagine what might be happening next.
Yeah, for now, though, they're acting like they're committed to movies and TV, right? I think both you and I have been asking this question, and they're saying they're staying in it, but I wonder for how long, too.
The Groove app was good, by the way. The one thing I will say, I mean, on mobile, it was okay. On Windows 10, I've often complained about the quality of UWP apps in Windows 10, and I got to say, one of the big exceptions to that is the Groove app, actually. Groove app is a great app. So it's going to still kick around. It's going to be there, like I said, just for playing
maybe,
local.
Maybe they rename it music or something.
That's what someone else was saying on Twitter, I guess. But why bother? I mean, I don't
know.
Well, actually, there's a good reason to bother. Okay, fair enough. Nobody knows what Groove is anyway.
Right.
If you call it music, at least it's obvious, you know.
Right.
And I don't think if you look at it in the list, it's just called Groove. No, it's called Groove Music. I don't know if that's obvious enough to people. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Paul,
but
you
then,
say,
you know, it's
not
got everybody thinking about everything, right?
Yeah, like, why not TV shows? Why not movies?
Yeah, get rid of, why even have this stuff? It doesn't make any sense.
I know. And the next piece now today is showing up on a lot of sites saying, what if Microsoft's going to get out of Surface too? And I think this is a leap. If you're thinking because they got out of Groove, they're going to get out of Surface. I don't think those two things are related.
That doesn't relate at all.
I don't think they're related.
No, I don't think they're related. Here's how you make this comparison. Is digital media ever going to be the next billion-dollar business for Microsoft? No.
No.
Never. Is Surface? Right. Yes.
So the reason though, this came up was Canalys. Is that their name? Canalys is a market research company, and they yesterday proclaimed somewhere that Microsoft is going to exit the Surface business by 2019. And then they had some, wherever they were, it was their forum in Venice, California. They also had some OEMs of Microsoft's in attendance. And the OEMs said, yeah, for sure they're going to do that. Yeah, they're going to get out of hardware.
Wow.
The OEMs, wishful thinking, I believe. I don't think Microsoft's going to get out of hardware. I really don't.
I don't think so either. But I will say this, I don't believe it either. But you have to admit, this last year has been kind of interesting on the Surface front, right? We had a conversation with Chris Capicella on a New Year's show. I think it was over a year ago, not the most recent one, maybe the first one, where he was talking about release cadence and how the spring made more sense than the fall. And fall is what, you know, Surface had done traditionally. But they've allowed huge gaps in time to go by on certain product lines, right? And so these things aren't lining up anymore. You know, Apple is kind of a weird exception, but most PC makers update these products every 1 year to 18 months. And Microsoft has really kind of let that schedule go. And we'll see what happens over the next couple of weeks, obviously, but, and we'll see if this cat eats Mary Jo from the back of her skull in, but,
you know, I think I could see them slowing down in Surface and maybe,
That's my point though. They've already really slowed down.
But they could just like continue to evolve the products that they have, you know, better chips, minor updates. I could see them doing that. I don't see them exiting the Surface
business.
But
they already are not doing that. You know, Surface Book shipped 2 years ago with Skylake.
Yeah.
Tabby Lake has happened. And then the eighth gen thing, whatever they're calling that, with Quad Core has happened. And that's what needs to be in the new Surface Book. And where is it?
Right.
You know, it doesn't make any sense.
We were talking about this the other day on the show. Now that they've outed their own Surface Pro with LTE, are they going to have some other kind of announcement in London also? And maybe it's something like minor updates to things like the Surface Book, not Surface Book 2, but like maybe they just change out the chipset, or maybe they just change out, you know, one of the USB ports.
Yeah, but they've never done that. They've never done that even once.
So, they haven't. I'm saying maybe this will be what they do in the fall. Fall one.
This is so overdue. We were at an HP event yesterday, and I think it was Rich Woods asked the guy from HP, "Hey, you know, you just updated the 13-inch version of the HP Spectre, like the third gen or whatever. Great, it's got all the quad core processors, more RAM, more storage, all that stuff. What about the 15-inch version? Like, why do you do that on a different schedule?" And he says, "Well, they're actually on a different release schedule, and we will probably update that in spring, but actually." The current gen product was just updated in the store. So if you buy it now, you get the quad core chip in it. We just swapped out the chips. Like, yes, that's how a real PC maker does it. You always offer the latest thing. And I understand why someone might want to buy a Surface Book today, I guess. But I also understand why they're looking at this thing thinking, this is 2-year-old technology.
Yeah.
It's 2 years old. I mean, that's crazy for a computer.
I don't know if you saw Satya Nadella. He's on his book tour right now. And one of the places he talked to recently was Bloomberg TV. And they asked him point blank, are you going to keep making hardware? And he said, there's no way we're stopping. So you can either say,
that's in his book.
Okay. Right. You could say he believes it and he's not going to dump it. Or you can say he's just saying that for now. I mean, you can say it whichever way you want. I take it as they are going to keep doing this because they think they can still come up with some new types of devices and hopefully inspire OEMs to do it. But I kind of feel like Surface, like I feel about Xbox. They've invested so much money in it at this point that I don't think they're going to get out.
But what's the win, right? In other words, you could kind of picture an announcement similar to the one they made for Groove, where they say, you know, we entered the PC market X number of years ago because there was the innovation had slowed and things weren't happening. But now we can point to all these awesome PCs that HP and Dell and Lenovo and Asus and Acer and whoever else are making. And we can see we've mission accomplished, you know. Now we're going to work with our partners to make sure that the latest Windows innovations get, you know, built into these awesome new PCs from day one, blah, blah, blah. You could write it yourself. Mm-hmm. It's easy. You know, it's not hard to imagine. I agree with you. I don't think it's going to happen, but it's not hard to imagine either. That's the thing.
Except look at this year. They bring out a Surface laptop. I mean, talk about competing head-to-head with your partners. I mean, the difference is one has a fuzzy keyboard and one doesn't. Okay.
I think the Surface laptop speaks to the rumor that they're getting out of computers, because the one thing I do know about that device is that was designed in-house years ago and they never released it because it wasn't innovative enough and it wasn't a new form factor. And that I have a separate theory that the reason they released it now was because it was a known quantity. They knew the reliability would be fine and they need the reliability numbers because they were getting killed by the Skylake Gen stuff, which, you know.
Wow.
Bad timing. That's Consumer Reports just came out with that whole report about how terrible those products
are.
I know.
I think they're going to stay in hardware. If you ask me, what would I bet? I say they're going to stay in, but in a lesser way than they've been this year. Up until this
year. They need to lay out what their roadmap is and what the plan is. Like, if this month goes by and they just let Surface Books sit there like that, if they don't ever talk about an update to Studio...
I think they're going to update all these things. I think they're going to update them all in a minor way this year and then do the bigger launch next year with maybe like true USB-C and all those things that we've been wanting. I don't know.
Okay. Well, I hope you're right.
We'll see. So next year. Yeah. It's early next year, late next year?
I don't know.
Sometime.
I don't, like Paul said, I don't know what their roadmap is anymore. You know, is it just... like one, like fall is for more minor updates and spring is for bigger bang, brand new products. I don't know.
I would, you know, it's funny
right now it's for nothing.
When I saw this note, I thought, oh, that's a non-starter. In fact, when we started the conversation, so come on. But now you kind of convinced me.
I don't remember what the, actually, it might have been around the Surface laptop thing. There was a round of interesting PR. They were getting third parties to write about how awesome Surface was and how Microsoft was driving innovation in the PC space. And I said, that's baloney.
It's not innovating.
That's an insult to the guys who work at PC makers that are, in fact, innovating and providing things like Thunderbolt 3 with incredible external graphics capabilities and the ability to drive 2 4K external displays off a simple laptop. Beautiful form factors and colors and...
What about the Surface Pro?
What about it?
The LTE one coming?
Well, just in the new one. Just in general, that seems to be it's not unique, but it was the first of its kind, wasn't it, Paul?
No, it wasn't. But I think the correct way to put the Surface Pro is that it kind of formalized that form factor, right? They weren't the first to do it, but by doing it, somehow this jump-started a movement to do it the way Microsoft did it. You know, they had a kickstand built in, for example, and they put the guts, you know, behind the screen.
That feels fairly innovative. The Studio was innovative in the angle of the screen, and you know, it wasn't all in one. But with that,
I feel like the Studio was very innovative.
Adding the dial and the pen and then the 18-degree angle.
The clipboard notion in Surface Book is interesting. And these things, you know, obviously the Surface Studio screen doesn't pop off. It's a desktop computer. Right. But I feel like they did have a kind of a thematic thing going until they did laptop. And then it was like, wait, what?
Laptop's just a laptop. And it's not the best in breed or anything. It just has Alcantara.
Just a laptop.
Yeah.
And then they market
and it has 10S.
The Pro.
And
they 10S. Market the Pro like it's a laptop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a complete... It's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, I bought them all because, well, we got to and we got to review them. But truthfully, if it were my money and my purchase, I probably wouldn't. I'd buy a Lenovo or a Dell or HP, one of those three, maybe an Asus. Yeah.
I think that's the beautiful thing about the PC market is you have those choices, and like I said, it's a little disingenuous to claim that Microsoft somehow brought innovation to the PC market. Like Lenovo, Dell, HP, those guys were all
kind of
doing
a
this
Me Too product.
Yeah.
With maybe a little exception.
Well, they're not unique, I guess, in that regard. I mean, yes. It's not like everyone was building beige boxes and Microsoft showed
a lot of innovation.
How it's done.
And as you point out, there's a lot of innovation in a lot of these manufacturers. Hey, just
Dell came out with the XPS 13. That was one of the most innovative PCs ever made in recent days.
So here's, by the way, speaking of the Surface laptop, an interesting thing. Remember a couple of weeks ago before I left, we did an experiment where I reverted from Windows 10 Pro to Windows 10 S. And I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I've been getting an activation warning. So I troubleshooted it, and it said...
It says the switch.
Switch back to 10 Pro.
So I'm curious, remind me, how did you go from 10 Pro back to S? What was the process?
That's a good question. I think I used an installer, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay. That should have worked fine. I've done that multiple times.
So it says that this machine is registered as a... I'll do the troubleshoot again. This is, you know, you have a right to use Windows 10 Pro, so switch. Like, I can't
go back.
The
other thing you could do is, that should auto-activate.
Well, it should have,
it doesn't. In fact, I believe there's Microsoft documentation that states clearly that you don't lose the activation on S, but...
It says your PC is running Windows 10 S, but you have a Windows 10 Pro digital license.
Okay.
To use this digital license, you need to switch to 10 Pro. It feels like the entitlement... Has switched.
Is it tied to your Microsoft
Pro?
Account?
Pardon me?
Is it tied to your Microsoft account?
Yeah.
You might want to reinstall Windows 10S, not sign in with a Microsoft account, let it activate, and then you could add your Microsoft.
So maybe the entitlement is attached to the account, you're thinking, instead of the hardware.
Yeah, digital entitlement is, I think it's attached to a Microsoft account. The other thing you could do is get the downloadable restore set from Microsoft and just install Windows 10S from scratch.
Restore it to its factory.
To its original
state. Yeah. You know what? I think I'm just going to switch back to 10 Pro. Experiment complete.
you did it. You tried it.
That was my recommendation, actually, is go to 10 Pro. But I'm just, these are just options. You know, if you wanted to waste the rest of your life like I do.
Back and forth. Yeah, no, we wanted to find out what happened to Chrome if I did that. And we now know it disappears.
Yep.
So, yeah, I see no reason. I mean, if I own 10 Pro, I might as well just switch.
That's right. I agree.
I'm digitally entitled. And that's what's wrong with millennials today.
Yeah. You know what, though? I think I tweeted this yesterday. Microsoft's making it so if you have one license, you can upgrade to another license just if you have the product key. Well, not even upgrade, but just move to it. Like if you have a Windows 10 Enterprise license, you can enter. You can just change the product key and go to Windows 10 Education if there was some reason you wanted to do that, and vice versa. So it seems like they're just going that way. Although the one exception, I don't know if there's anything you can switch to from home using just a product key. But
if you had a Pro,
I mean, if you pay for it, right?
It would upgrade. You'd have to reboot.
You'd have to buy an upgrade.
It works the same way.
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys are like a calliope in mid. One of you is too high, one of you is too low.
I know. I'm too high because of my little camera incident.
Oh, because you screw. Yeah, yeah.
Paul's a little bit too low. So.
Well, let me throw my cat at my webcam.
By the way, I wanted to
see what happens.
Paul, that you have, since I went on vacation, really upgraded your studio. You've put in some wood paneling. Very nice.
Actually, what I did was I turned my desk around.
Oh. You got the fireplace behind you. This is nice. Yeah.
What used to be in front of me.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I figured this would be, because the problem is we're not going to get this thing painted quickly now. They're taking a long time. So rather than stare at like a beige, bland wall from the 1970s, I figured I could.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's all you need to do. You've done it. Maybe put a few Emmy and Oscar awards on the mantelpiece.
So actually. You can't see this, Leo, but if I tilt the camera upward here.
Uh-huh. Look, it's loaded with... there's the album art.
My MVP award.
Now, tell me you did not throw that out, Mary Jo, because the guy who made it is very upset.
No.
Zune sticker.
I told the guy. Sticker. I got it.
There's a Zune.
25th anniversary Zune. ThinkPad thing.
Boy, Guardians of the Galaxy are going to bring Zune back, I'm telling you.
Yep.
It's the next big thing.
Yeah, so it's kind of out of frame normally, but I do have a bunch of stuff.
No, that's cool. I like your mantle. We got to figure that out. Maybe move your desk, push your desk forward a little bit. Or something.
Okay, I think what I'm going to do actually is dismantle the fireplace, lower the mantle,
lower it,
put it all back.
That's what Tom Merritt did. Yeah, I think that's the right thing.
Yeah, excellent. Excellent way to go.
And then once that's done, I'll just move down to the cellar.
And then, right. And then we'll send you our new studio setup. Two lights and a camera. Actually, this is not a studio setup. This is the Ring floodlight cam. And this is the most awesomest thing from Ring. Our sponsor today, the Ring, the folks at Ring, R-I-N-G.com, makers of the Ring Video Doorbell, which we've talked about for years. Of course, I have a Ring Video Doorbell at my house. They also make a variety of other products that will keep your home safe and sound, including this new one. This is the Ring floodlight cam. So let me explain what this is. So cool. We've all seen the motion-activated floodlights. People put them on the side of the house. Although these are nice because they're LED, so they don't wear out. They're super bright. They're motion-activated. But then you also have attached to it, there it is, the Ring camera. This has a speaker, a microphone, motion detection, and an alarm. So when things go bump in the night, you'll get a notification even if you're not home. That's the beauty of all the Ring stuff, the doorbell, the cameras. What happens is that you put the Ring software on your phone. I have to mute my phones when I get in here because when anybody comes to our front door, I hear a chime. I can open it up. I can talk to them even if they don't ring the doorbell. Even if they're just walking behind the house, they're all lit up. This, imagine this at night. You know, bad guy comes up on your lawn and the lights come on. You can say, hello, can I help you? And if they don't run away from that, you can even trigger a 110 decibel alarm. This is the ultimate in keeping your home safe and secure. The Ring floodlight cam, named the Wall Street Journal's best of CES 2017. I have to say, since I've installed all these things, I love the ability. But when we were on vacation, I could see what was going on. Lisa would fire it up to see where the cats were, which is, you know, they're outdoor cats, but it's nice to know they're all around. We'd know when somebody drove up into our driveway. We'd know when somebody came in the house. Monitor every corner of your property with a new Ring of security kits. All the kits include the Ring video doorbell, whether the original Ring or the Pro, your choice, and either one, two, or three floodlight cams. Connect your Ring doorbell with your favorite smart locks, your hubs for added convenience, monitoring, and security. Of course, you can use your Echo or your Google Home to talk to your devices, to turn on the cameras, to see what's going on. With Ring, you're always home. Save up to $150 on a Ring of security kit when you go to ring.com/WW for Windows Weekly. That's ring.com/WW. With Ring, you can see and talk to anyone at your door from anywhere in the world. I love it. We are all in on the Ring. Whole home security in the palm of your hands. Ring.com/WW. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. We're talking Windows Weekly. Now we get to the fun part. What? Yes?
Small aside. The Pixel XL.
Yes.
Pixel 2 XL.
Yes.
And I assume the Pixel 2 also have a nano SIM slot. So it's eSIM and nano SIM.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
The eSIM means requires no SIM. It's done electronically.
Right.
The nano SIM means you could transfer a SIM over.
Which is actually good for me because I was a little nervous about how that was going to work. So that means I should not have to worry about Project Fi support.
Your Google Fi, of course it supports Fi. Come on. That'd be like a
SIM. Maybe that's where that question came from.
The problem is I just ported my number to a SIM.
Yeah, yeah.
They were terrible about it. So I'm worried now.
It'll be straightforward, I'm sure. Yeah.
All right. So you say.
And then, well, I plan to do the same thing. But I have a SIM in my XL. I mean, my Pixel.
Right,
XL,
right.
But when I go to the XL2, I presume I won't have to move the SIM over. I'll just activate it.
By the way, I had that same assumption when I switched my phone number over, and 3 weeks went by.
Hey,
did they send you a new SIM?
Yeah, I figured out how to get the new SIM and just got it myself.
Right.
They provided zero support whatsoever. Right. I did this all by myself.
Oh, he did it all by himself.
They wrote me back and they were like, is there anything else we can help you with? And I was like, you haven't helped me with anything.
You haven't helped me at all.
Give me a month free.
Microsoft is fixing Skype. Hallelujah. What are they fixing, though?
I don't know if you've been following the Skype drama, Leo, but let's just say that people aren't too happy with the mobile client.
Oh, with a mobile. Oh. I don't use it on mobile. I only use it on desktop.
Yeah, so on desktop, of course, they're in the process of phasing out the desktop client as we know it to replace it with that UWP atrocity. They were getting ready to bring over the new UI for mobile to that app, but then everybody freaked out and they actually kind of delayed it. So now what they're doing is experimenting with the UI on mobile so if they can solve the problems that people are having, you know, they'll move it over to the desktop too.
Hey, by the way, your post mentions that person, Ellen Kilborn, who used to be on Groove, who moved to Skype, right?
Yeah.
Now we know where Ellen went.
Yes.
She was always the one in the support forums posting about what was going on with Groove, and she did a really good job of, like Microsoft never did, officially, of you know, explaining what was new.
Remember how long it took me to switch to 10S? It's already 10.
Yeah, that's easy.
It was like
so. Now go look at the activation though, Leo. If you go into settings,
yeah. Let me see.
And then it's the update and restore or whatever.
Let's click the activation button.
Update and security.
It is activated with a digital license linked to my Microsoft account, as you said.
Yeah.
You're so smart.
Silly Microsoft.
You should do a show on Windows, Paul. You're just great. So
sure, I'm too busy wasting my life writing a book about it. But yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Leanpub.com, field guide to Microsoft Windows 10. Yeah. Available now. Okay. Do you anything else to say about Skype, or are you done?
No, I think the less said about Skype, the better.
I'd rather talk about Cuphead. Oh, let me see if my Cuphead's intact.
Your Cuphead is right where you left it.
If
all
it
your
said
cups
that,
are right where you left
it. If it said
them.
That, isn't Cuphead good? Now, Mary Jo was the first to. Yep, Cuphead's still in here. It's
it
working.
Looked cute.
It's fun. It's the hardest game ever.
It is the hardest game I've possibly. Oh, well, I played Shadow of the Beast. It's almost that hard.
It's one of those platformers where you just die a lot. And the whole trick in the platformer is.
But here's the problem.
To train your fingers.
But it looks so approachable. Yeah. I think they're losing out on a market of casual gamers who should be able to play this. And I really feel like it's a big mistake.
It's such
there's
a
no
good
super
game.
Easy mode or
no,
anything.
No, there isn't. There's an easier mode on every level, but it's not easy.
No. And the bosses, man, they're murder.
Yeah, they're tough. Yep.
They are murder.
It's frustrating.
Yeah, but what a fun game. It's fun, and you can't stop playing it. That's the other thing.
Oh. Hmm.
And the greatest music.
Yep. No, it's very faithful. By the way, I haven't seen this myself, but apparently if you beat the game, or maybe this is a secret thing you do, but you can actually go play the whole thing again in black and white, and so it looks even more like something from the
1930s. Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be really fun.
Yep.
All right. Let me go here to Cuphead Isle. Inkwell Isle. Isn't it cute? I love
it's
the
very
colors.
Cute.
There's Mughead, my pal. Should we go in? Aeroplane Blueprint. Some of these levels are so murderous. And I don't play. Oh, I normally play on the shoot XVZ. Hey, this is going to be tough.
Lots of stuff.
Have you played this one, Paul?
No, I have not. Oh. I've not gotten very far in this. I'm kind of embarrassed by it.
It's hard, but it's fun, and it's really...
It is really hard.
I usually play... You have to play it with a joystick. You can't... I mean, a controller. You can't play it. I'm playing on the keyboard now, so honestly.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, that was fun. Let's do that again sometime. Threaten Zeppelin. The boss battles are just murder. Oh, this is a hard one. Yeah. Oh. Oh, whoa. Oh.
See, you know what? I shouldn't do Cuphead because I'll be so frustrated. I don't game.
It
like,
does
frustrate so
you. You'd be very frustrated by this, and that's what I mean. It's unnecessarily hard.
No, it's not unnecessarily hard. It's just hard enough. I like it.
All right. Well, unfortunately, if a normal person can't play it and it's so cute and it's something they would want to play,
I know what you're saying.
You know, it's
but
just too
Mario,
bad. Like
Mario is like this. I mean, it's just you.
Mario is very approachable.
You have to keep.
And Mario rewarded replay because you could find secrets and go find little quick, you know, shortcuts through levels and stuff. And
yeah, really, what you're doing on this is just memorizing, training yourself to play the level.
Yep,
but
it's brutal.
I do enjoy it. All right. Enough for that. How about Forza Motorsport 7?
That one I have nothing bad to say about. That game is amazing. And I have never really been into racing games per se. I mean, I've played racing games dating back to the Commodore 64, but this game is so realistic and so beautiful, and it's amazing. And like Cuphead, it's Xbox Play Anywhere. You can go back and forth between your PC and Xbox. Obviously, on Xbox today, it's 1080p-ish or whatever. But if you have a PC, you can do 4K, whatever. It will support whatever you have.
How about on the new Xbox, 4K, the X?
Yeah, and when you get on the X, it's going to be 4K, 60 frames a second across the board. But
even on
an S right now, it's amazing. It's a really, really good game.
All right. Do you have a little wheel and a seat and a pedal and all that?
No, I'm not that much of a nerd, but I actually, one thing you can see that this season, the computer control players you play against in single player mode are called Drivatars. And they populate their names to make them look like they're your Xbox Live buddies.
Oh, how funny.
So I often race against, like, within Raphael, which is Raphael, but he's not really in the game, but.
Oh, that's cute.
It gives you that kind of added incentive to.
I like that. So even though it's not him,
yeah,
it pretends to be him.
That's right.
That's kind of cute.
Yeah.
I like that. That's kind of going to be the future of PC gaming or Xbox gaming. Come on. How do you like that new X? Isn't that great?
I'm told it's
come on, Mary Jo, you got to help me. We got to wear him down.
I saw the Xbox One X at the showcase event.
Wear him down. Come on.
Speak about it.
I bet he's got it right next to him.
He's sitting on it right now. He's playing it under the table. I'm so jealous. November 7th, I get mine. That's because I got the special first day. Yeah, I got the first day.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait.
Project Scorpio Edition.
Project Scorpio Edition. And what game, if you were to suggest, would it be Forza maybe the first game?
Yeah, if you want the visual showcase, you want that one. Although, one game I'm really looking forward to is Assassin's Creed. I forget the name. It might be Assassin's Creed Origins. Is that possible?
That's out already, though, isn't it?
It might be the Dan Brown book. It doesn't matter. Whatever the new Assassin's Creed game that takes place in Egypt. I actually only played that on a normal Xbox One. It was gorgeous. And it's being remastered or whatever they call it, enhanced for Xbox One X.
Yeah,
And that's probably going to be amazing. But that might be a nice one too.
Somebody in the chat says Project Cars 2 is even better than Forza 7. Have you played that one?
Blasphemy. No, I've not.
Okay,
I'm probably not going to do multiple.
It's probably like Battlefield versus.
Yeah,
COD.
Well,
it's like
that might be the game I saw today. So they were promoting another racing game today, and I think the difference is Forza takes place on tracks, and so they're famous racetracks and actually famous races as well. And then the other game, if it's the same one. You actually race out in the world, so it's one of those kind of games. And
I'd like a Formula One game. Is there? Because I was in Monaco, you know, and that was so. We were actually our hotel was on the hairpin
on the street
turn
where they actually race.
Yeah, and it looks so cool.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah,
I would like to go back and just watch that.
I remember an early Forza game on Xbox 360. Probably, I think it was Forza. It was Paris. So you could drive around Paris, and if you knew
Wouldn't
your way around
fun?
Paris, you could actually navigate around the city in the game, and it was accurate.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Like, yeah, that kind of thing is kind
the
of interesting.
The Place de la Concorde roundabout in Paris, mm-hmm. the big roundabout, has no lanes.
Yep.
The right-of-way belongs to the person entering, completely the opposite of most roundabouts.
I'm not going to get this exactly right, but I believe in Paris, unique in France, that the way those rotaries work is exactly the opposite of how they work in the rest of France.
Yep.
So whatever the right-of-way is, it's opposite.
And normally in a roundabout, if you're in the roundabout, you have right-of-way, and then people entering have to wait.
In Paris, it's the opposite.
Not all of Paris, just the Place de la Concorde.
No, I think the one at the...
Arc de Triomphe.
Arc de Triomphe is also the
same. You're right, the Arc de Triomphe, I saw an accident.
You don't want to drive in Paris.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
and then it's priority to the right. That's right. And then the insurance companies are so crazy. Insurance companies say it's no fault. 50-50.
It's no fault.
It's
nobody's
fault.
It's technically everyone's fault.
It's all
when you think about
if
it.
You drove there, it's your fault.
Yeah.
If you're in
exactly.
if you're in the roundabout, it's your fault.
I believe that right away to the right thing in Paris is even side streets. If you're driving down the street and there's a side street that's perpendicular to you, and someone pulls up, you have to let them go. It's completely wrong. It's just the wrongest.
I've driven in Paris, and I probably broke all the rules.
because I didn't even know that.
I don't think I've ever driven in central Paris. I've driven out in the...
I had a rent a car, and I had to return it to central Paris. It's the only time I did it. Oh.
Did you carry it over in a bag and say, here?
I just put it in my pocket.
Sorry about this. This pile of crud, which is, used to be a car.
F1 2017. There's a Formula
that
One.
That one I've not even heard of.
I haven't either. It's a Formula One game. I just did a search for it. So anyway. But enough about that. Let's continue on with Windows Weekly. Microsoft is going to rebrand the Xbox store as the Microsoft store. What is that? What?
Yeah, so while you were gone, it was revealed that the Windows store in Windows 10 was going to be renamed to the Microsoft store.
Ah.
And they're changing the logo and the icon and everything. And so I booted up my Xbox a day or two after I'd heard this, and they're changing it on the Xbox too, actually. So I'm on the insider preview. Same logo, whatever. So I think to most people, it's just going to be store. You know, store is what you see. But as you know,
right,
that's the
store.
Name on the...
That's it. It's just store.
On the tile or whatever. It's just going to be store. But yeah, they're kind of consolidating the brand.
That makes
sense.
You know,
frankly, yeah, makes
one
sense.
One store fits all.
Yeah. Although, you know what's confusing to me? So if somebody says to you, look in the store for blah, 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 you could think it means the online store, you know, the Microsoft online store. It could be the Windows store, could be the Xbox store, or it could be a physical store, a Microsoft store. I think it's confusing, but I think they want you to think of them all as one, right?
If the Microsoft store in Windows 10 and or Xbox One actually starts selling the stuff you can get at the retail store, you know, accessories.
Then it would make
and,
more sense.
Which it should. Right. Yeah, that would make tons of sense. I actually think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
One store.
But right now, when
all.
You say store, it could mean a lot of things.
That's right.
But, you know, that's English.
It is.
Store means a lot of things in English, too.
It is.
That's for sure. Yep.
We overload words a lot.
True.
Yeah.
All right. Back of the book. Ready?
Ready.
All right.
Probably.
Take a little break. It's okay because I got an ad. And when we come back, the best part of the show, the tips, the tricks, the beer, everything you've been waiting for, brought to you this week by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. When it's time to buy or refi, you ought to know about Rocket Mortgage. Quicken Loans is the best mortgage lender in the country, period, flat, end of statement. I don't even have to prove it. All you have to do is go to rocketmortgage.com, see all those J.D. Power customer satisfaction awards, number one year after year after year, and you'll know they're just the best. But, by the way, that's both for origination and servicing, and that's important because once you get the loan, they're going to service the loan. But they've made it even better for us geeks with this thing they call Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply online. Everything you would do. You don't have to go to a bank. You don't have to go to a lender. You don't have to gather paperwork from your attic. Everything you want to do can be done at rocketmortgage.com/windows. Because of their partners in all the financial institutions, you give them some basic information, create an account, give them some basic information, and they already have access to all that stuff. You just have to give them permission. They'll go through it all. This can all be done online as you go. In the car. You could be at an open house. You could be driving to your new home and say, let's get that loan right now. I want to make an offer when we get there. And based on your income, your assets, and your credit, they're going to analyze all the home loan options for which you qualify automatically, instantly. They'll find the right one for you, and you will get approved within minutes. Not months, not weeks, not days, not hours. Minutes. Select your term and loan option. Find out how much you can afford. They'll qualify you for it. They'll give you approval. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Rocket Mortgage is from Quicken Loans. All you got to do is go to rocketmortgage.com/windows. Now, I figure you're probably not in the middle of buying a house right this very moment. But bookmark that. Make a note. Put a post-it up on your bulletin board there in the kitchen. rocketmortgage.com/windows. When the time comes to buy or refi, rocketmortgage.com/windows. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. rocketmortgage.com/windows. Big supporters, by the way, of Windows Weekly. They love the show. They've signed up again for next year. We're big fans of them. And by supporting them, you support us.
I wish I could have used them for my mortgage. Why that was almost terrible.
Yeah, you heard the ad.
I don't really... First of all, Leo, I don't make the financial decisions in my house. So.
We got to get Stephanie listening to the show.
Yeah. We had a terrible experience.
No, everybody does. That's why I really love this advertiser. The last time we bought 4 years ago, I wish there had been a Rocket Mortgage. There wasn't.
Yeah.
It was horrible, but never again.
Hindsight, 2020 and whatnot.
Yes. I don't think people, because you don't buy houses often enough, you forget. It's like having a baby.
Exactly. It's not a right. It's not a repeatable skill, unless you're doing something wrong, I guess, and moving all the time.
Right.
You're right.
All right, let's kick it off with your tip of the week, Paul Theron.
Yeah, so I have two tips, but the big one, it involves Groove music. So if you've made purchases from Groove, you're on a timeline now. Uh-oh. Because you will be able to download your purchases from the Groove app in Windows 10 through the end of the year only. So starting January 1st, that stuff is no longer available.
Now, once I download it, they're just MP3s, and I can move them around, and I can put them anywhere.
Right. So if you're using a different service, you can push them into there. Okay. If you're using Spotify, you know, there's kind of weird workarounds you can do. You can copy that music to a local drive that's, you know, where you have Spotify on a computer. You can put it on your device. Spotify will see it on your device, but you can't really put it up in the cloud on Spotify. But, yeah, so if you did buy music from Groove Music Pass, it's all free and clear. You can download it, get it, but make sure you do it now because that is going to end.
If you put it in one drive, that'd be the easiest probably, right?
Yeah, you could, and I've done that with some of my music. You want to be careful there because if you had a Groove Music Pass, you actually got a bonus storage allotment on OneDrive. That's going away. And so obviously music can take up some space. If you have Office 365, you get some, you know, a lot of space from that. So I've done that. And if you use Windows 10, you can still play that music through the Groove Store, through the Groove app after January 1st, if it's in OneDrive.
So
but you
good.
Can't stream
so
it.
I'm just checking. Anymore. So I did download it to my OneDrive. So I have.
There you go.
I have them there. They're not going to go away now, though.
Nope, that's fine. They're not going to touch
it's stored
that.
There, yeah. And I have a terabyte of OneDrive because I subscribe to Office 365. So that's a kind of a no-brainer. Okay, good. So do something like that.
That's good. The other thing is it's the beginning of the month. I always talk about games with gold at the beginning of the month because obviously there's a turnover there. But actually, starting this month, it occurred to me, I might want to remind people, too, that every month Microsoft is adding more games to the Xbox Game Pass subscription, right? And this is actually kind of a unique value on Xbox. I know Sony has a similar service and it's streaming and so forth. But it's only $9.95 a month or $9.99 a month. And I could picture this being... the way that people game, you know, in the same way that Spotify or whatever streaming is the way that a lot of people listen to music. You know, instead of buying games, just go through the subscription service. So anyway, it's the beginning of the month. And so I think it was 7 new games on Xbox Game Pass. They are all available now. You don't have to wait till some random part of the month. And then, of course, we get the first few of the next 4 games on Games of Gold are available today.
Nice.
Yeah, so like, what was that thing called? State of Decay, I grabbed. And then the one I'm really looking forward to on Games with Gold is Medal of Honor Airborne, which is one of the older World War II titles, right? So this is actually, it's an awesome, if you scroll down, it's a kind of a cool screenshot. Like, it's a lot of aerial stuff in that game. It looks like it's pretty good. So that's going to be
pretty.
Yeah, like you're paratrooping there.
Ooh,
into.
I like that.
Yeah, Munich or something.
That's Medal of Honor Airborne.
Yeah.
Could be an airborne ranger. Jump from a C-47. Wow. That's the closest I'm going to get to jumping out of an airplane, that's for sure.
Yeah, probably me too.
Yeah.
And then for App Pick, I have a couple, but the big one is Paint.net, right? So Paint.net is a really famous .NET application. It's been around for a long time. It came out of a challenge by Microsoft to see if someone could recreate it and then improve on the Paint application that's built into Windows using .NET technologies. And actually, the way this app has evolved is it's a Photoshop replacement. It's been technically free if you get it from the web, but it's a donationware thing. The guy obviously would prefer people to pay for it. And so the store version, I think it's going to be $8.99 normally.
Nice.
But right now it's $5. So if you buy it before the end of October, you can get it for $5. And I strongly recommend you do so. I did do so. It's an amazing app. I mean, it's really great.
Well, there's Cuphead.
Yeah.
They didn't play paint Cuphead in the paint.net.
No. I was editing it though. So, you know, like resize the app and
right.
Is
that what you use paint.net for your
No, I've been using Adobe Photoshop Elements, right? Because that was another big store app that I bought, but I downloaded it and I'm looking at I paid for it actually. So,
might be a little easier.
Looking at it see if I can move to it. It's a smaller app than Photoshop for sure.
Right.
The other one I wanted to mention was Microsoft's SwiftKey keyboard application for Android was just updated with a new UX, which you pretty much don't see unless you're in the settings part of it called the hub. But they also changed the default themes, and so there's a light, dark, and I think a high contrast theme now. And those have all been updated to look more modern and so forth. So if you're using SwiftKey, the Android one is available now. The iOS one should be available soon, too.
Microsoft bought them, so.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Free. Enterprise pick of the week, Mary Jo Foley. And her cat.
And the cat. The cat. Sirachi said for the first enterprise pick, we should go with the Azure Data Box.
Good thinking, Sirachi. Really, good thinking.
He likes this thing. He likes it.
You
it's
know why?
Because
he doesn't
pounds.
Like Snowball.
That's it.
Yep.
He doesn't like Amazon AWS Snowball, which has been around for years. So what these things are these appliances that you – they're like a box that you plug into your network and you can download your data securely into the box. And then you ship the box to the vendor, and then they put your data in the cloud. So for some people, this is how it works better for them to upload a lot of data to the cloud. Like this appliance Microsoft has, the Azure Data Box, can store up to 100 terabytes of data. So Microsoft's just started testing this in preview now. And I think they said it was going to be out in early next year. Amazon has one that's even bigger called the Snowmobile. That's like, it's actually like a shipping container size.
Wow.
One. And Microsoft hasn't said they're going to do that, to my knowledge, but at least they've started the testing on their alternative to Snowball, which is called Azure Data Box. That's my first enterprise pick.
Nice.
And I have a bonus pick, too. Last week, we had so much enterprise news because we were at Ignite that we didn't really have time to get to all the picks.
At Microsoft Ignite, the company announced a number of...
Oh, my buddy Dan.
Do you know Dan?
Yeah, Dan is a great... Yeah. Tech Republic, great guy. Love Dan. He's been on Twit many times. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Sorry, that was Sirachi playing the video. Oh boy, he's been a handful.
You know, the funny thing is, we were talking about autoplay video. I thought it was me playing the video.
No. Sadly, ZDNet also has autoplay video. Last week we talked about a lot of different things Microsoft announced for enterprise, but one thing we never got to because there were too many was the new Dynamics apps that Microsoft launched at the show. So the Dynamics apps are these new modular apps that Microsoft has.
Wait a minute, by the way.
Yes.
It looks like Sirachi got to your keyboard as well.
Did I? Yes, you see the notes. He also is pressing keys. The Dynamics apps. Yeah. He's been a joy this afternoon.
Oh, he says, don't do that dumb show anymore.
Exactly.
No more, mommy.
No, so these two new apps they announced last week are like mini apps. They call them modular apps, and they're part of the Microsoft Dynamics 365 for Talent line. One of them is called Dynamics Talent Attract, and one is called Talent Onboard. So now Microsoft's not just in the human capital management space with their with this first app they did, but they're introducing these more modular, smaller apps to address certain business processes. That are around the whole idea of, you know, attracting talent and onboarding people when you hire them. So I think we're going to see a lot more of these as they go forward, because they're very much with Satya Nadella about making business processes more manageable and transparent and usable. So that's the enterprise pick. But then I thought it was interesting. Today, LinkedIn announced something called a new talent app. Talent Insights, I think it's called. And it has absolutely nothing to do with the Dynamics 365 talent apps, even though it's called Talent. And Microsoft owns LinkedIn now. But yeah, that just threw that in there because I thought it was interesting that LinkedIn is not using Microsoft's analytics products yet for their own products. So that's kind of where that integration is at
sometimes
right now.
Sometimes that stuff takes a while, doesn't it?
Takes a while. Yeah. But when I saw the announcement today, I'm like, oh, this must have to do with the thing Microsoft announced last week around talent. Nope. Nothing to do with it.
Just coincidence.
Yeah.
Just a coinky dink.
Yeah,
bless
me.
You.
Now he's like raising dust.
Code name pick of the week.
Okay, so we've talked on the show a couple times about Andromeda being whatever Microsoft does next in the mobile space, probably some kind of a tablet that may have telephony capabilities. But we have also mentioned there's this whole other thing called Andromeda that is software too. And we're getting more bits and pieces about what this piece is that's called Andromeda OS. What it is, from what sources are telling me, is the next level that Microsoft's going to go in terms of making Windows 10 actually a true common platform across all the different device types that it supports. So right now we have one core, you know, that runs on HoloLens and it runs on Xbox and it runs on Windows 10 on client and server. But there you want to go beyond that and make a kind of environment where OEMs and Microsoft could kind of pull pieces in and just layer them on top of one core. One source said to me, it's like a chassis of a car. Think of one core as the chassis of the car, and then Andromeda is all these other pieces you can pull in to make each car using the same chassis look and work differently. So this is something users will never really see, but it's interesting that Microsoft is continuing to try to make Windows 10 really just one thing across all of these platforms, and that's what I think Andromeda OS is. Right. So that's the code name.
Cool. I think we all have earned a beer.
Yes.
It's fall. It's time to bring out the pumpkin spice.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't drink a lot of pumpkin beers. I find a lot of them way too sweet and way too spiced. It tastes almost like you're eating a piece of pumpkin pie, which if you're in the mood for that can be okay. But if you're drinking a beer, it's not, to me, the best thing to be drinking a piece of pumpkin pie.
No.
So there's a beer I just tried yesterday, in fact, called Cigar City's Good Gourd. And this is a pumpkin beer I would drink.
Good Gourd.
Good Gourd.
So it's not real pumpkin-y. It's not real pumpkin spicy.
You definitely get the cinnamon and clove like in a pumpkin pie. And you can tell it's a pumpkin beer, but it's not really sweet.
Oh, good.
It's you know, pumpkin beer, you drink one and that's probably enough for at least one sitting.
For a year. Yeah.
And this one comes in at 8.5%. So you're not going to sit there and hopefully drink a whole ton of these at once. But it is, if you want to try a pumpkin beer and have something seasonal, Cigar City, based in Florida, they make excellent beers. And this is a very good one that I just had yesterday for the first time.
Good.
So it's called Good Gourd. And someone told me there is a barrel-aged version of this. Aged in bourbon barrels, I think, that would probably be very, very good, too.
Good Gourd. Good Gourd. Pump from Cigar City Brewing. Where's Cigar City?
They're in Florida. Are they in Tallahassee, maybe?
Oh, yeah, maybe because of the proximity to Cuba or something. Cigar City. Huh.
I think it's, I think it's probably that. And also, they use a lot of, aged wood barrels and cedar barrels stuff for their beers. Yep. Like kind of like a cigar room. Right. Like I would know about this. I don't, but.
Take your word
just
for it. Talk
off the top of my head here.
Take your word for it, Mary Jo. Well, there we go. There you have it. It's a Sriracha-infused Windows Weekly.
Jeez. He's sitting here looking at me like, okay, what else can I do?
Okay, I think you're getting the message, Mama. Well, cat lovers unite. We all have been there, Mary Jo.
Yes, you know, right?
Yes, it's a cat-infused Windows Weekly. Mary Jo Foley is at allaboutmicrosoft.com. That's her ZDNet blog. Go there and keep up on everything going on in Microsoft. Paul Thurrott writes about Windows and many other things. He was not gonged today, except by the cat. We were all gonged by the cat.
He was surprisingly okay that he didn't need to be gonged.
Did not go off. THURROTT.com. His books are at leanpub.com. And each and every Wednesday, about 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, 1800 UTC, as long as Google doesn't go long. Oh, I turned your mic off, Paul, because I didn't really want to hear anything you say.
Jeez.
No, I just thought I'd let you rest while we were talking.
I see. Thank you.
Get up, walk around. Sorry, Paul.
No, it's okay.
Did you have anything to say?
Not anymore. I'm going to knock over my microphone.
Aww. You should try. See how that goes.
We will be back here next Wednesday. You're not traveling. You're done for a little while, right?
Yep.
Okay. No special events coming up.
Right. Okay. Let's leave it at that.
Oh, dear.
Yes.
Oh, dear. Maybe next month there'll be an Xbox event.
We'll see what happens.
1:30 Pacific, 4:30 Eastern, 20:30 UTC Wednesdays. If you can't watch live, you can't be in our chat room at irc.twit.tv. You can always listen to on-demand or watch on-demand versions from the website, twit.tv/dubdub. Or, use your podcast program and download it. It's on every platform. Pocket Casts, iTunes, Stitcher, Slack, Overcast.
Pinterest.
It probably is on Pinterest, actually. You can also use your Echo or your Google Assistant and summon it. You could say, Echo, listen to Windows Weekly on TuneIn.
As if I wasn't demonic enough.
Start playing. Summon Paul.
Summon me on your Google Assistant.
Oh, you can listen live, too, if you say, Echo, listen to Twit Live on TuneIn. So
is that sulfur I spell?
You didn't even have to say the name three times. Thank you, everybody, for being here. We'll see you next week. The Windows Weekly.